Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review here on the WWE Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, back on my second episode. Today's a little bit different than last week. Matt had a little bit of bad luck a couple nights ago with his weather. The bad luck found its way down to me this time, as it has nothing to do with weather, but basically I have DirecTV, so I have, for the past, I don't know, five, six years, watched SmackDown every week with really no hiccups. I mean, every now and then you might get something that happens, but for some reason today on Fox, instead of SmackDown, there was a Texas Senate debate. So, needless to say, I did not get to watch SmackDown live on TV like I normally do, with the luxury to pause, rewind, all that good stuff. So I had to audible, and I watched, after searching for a while, I was able to watch on a watch-along on Twitter, and just tried to keep up as good as I can. Oh, and by the way, on Twitter, you guys can follow me at Michael5Ritter on Twitter. So I forgot to mention that last week, and I realized that I might as well mention that right now before I get too deep into this. So that's Michael5Ritter on Twitter if you guys want to follow me there. But anyway, I was able to watch with the watch along and keep up with videos and stuff. So, and after SmackDown went off the air, I watched several different recap type little highlight videos to try to catch up on any action that I might not have noticed, but I think I was able to get most of it for the most part. So let's see here. SmackDown, as you guys know, the draft started tonight, the two-night event that's going to finish on Monday. I love whenever they do these drafts. Like Matt alludes to several times, whenever these things come around, WWE cannot help themselves with staying true to their brand splits. So that's something that really, really bothers me. I am from the Ruthless Aggression era, as far as when my fandom was at its peak. For those of you that don't know, the Ruthless Aggression era was known for its structure and how they had Raw and SmackDown, and it was whenever the brand split was at its absolute best. I mean, me personally, I didn't get to watch SmackDown growing up because it was on a different channel than Monday Night Raw was, which I wasn't able to get that channel, so I only watched Raw. I did not know really many of the SmackDown guys for the most part. Of course, I knew the big guys, and anytime I'd get a pay-per-view and see him on that, I would learn more about him and get that opportunity to see him wrestle then. But for the most part, I was strictly Raw growing up, so I didn't really get to see all the SmackDown guys. And that was a benefit in that era with not having Twitter or anything like that, because you really only got to watch what you saw. And I mean, looking back now, of course, you'd rather have it now when all the you have access to all these different videos and sources and ways to watch all the wrestling you can handle. But I don't know, something about those days when you basically, you got lucky if you were able to make it in time for the TV to start or to watch it live, because DVR wasn't really a thing back then, at least for me anyways. So I don't know, any memories that I have watching wrestling back in that era, I know that I was likely able to watch them live, so it kind of just means a little bit more. But anyway, before I get too off topic here, the brand split can be a beautiful thing if it's used right. It's a way to build new stars, give all the wrestlers more opportunity to get on the screen and build storylines. So me personally, I'm hoping that they actually grab the bull by the horns this time and really take advantage of this. So if anybody in the WWE or whatever is listening to this, please. I speak for a lot of fans that I know who really want to see this brand split work. So I'm hoping that they can do what they can to make it happen. And I'm putting confidence that they can. Or at least I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt this time. But as far as this draft goes, Raw gets the first pick, like normal. And basically just staying on Raw for a quick second, I'll just go ahead and break down their draft. Round one, they get Drew McIntyre, Asuka, and the Hurt Business. If you look at that, that's an absolutely perfect round one. If you think about it, you get the WWE Champion, the Raw Women's Champion, and a faction that actually includes the United States Champion, Bobby Lashley. So I mean, you get three belts right there in one round. I don't know how you can do any better than that, as well as the other superstars that are in the Hurt Business. So I feel like they knocked that one out of the park. And then you get to round two with AJ Styles, Naomi, and Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. So in that round, you get another top guy in AJ Styles, a women's wrestler who has been champion before and can definitely compete with any of the women on the roster in Naomi. And then the women's tag team champions win Shayna and Nia. So you get another set of championships. And then you look at round three, they really attack the mid-card here, I feel like, with Ricochet, Mandy Rose. And then round four comes, and they shock the whole world by taking Xavier and Kofi, the SmackDown tag team champions that they just won. They literally took them seconds after they won it. So you're looking at that as a pretty solid. Oh, yeah, they also get Dana Brooke and Angel Garza to close out their night one. But anyways, I mean, that's a lot of championships in one night. SmackDown has some making up to do on Monday and there with the second night of the draft to try to even things out a bit. But if you do look at SmackDown, they take Roman Reigns first, Seth Rollins second, to close out their first round, and then round two they get Sasha and Bianca Belair. I actually really like that round. Those two women are going to carry SmackDown, the women's division. We'll see who else gets drafted there on Monday, but I was just a really big fan of that. And then round three, they get Jey Uso and Rey and Dominic. And round four, they get Big E right after his tag team partners Kofi and Xavier go to Raw. SmackDown answers by taking the final member of New Day and keep Big E on SmackDown. And then they close it out by taking Otis. So, I don't know. Looking at those two rosters, I can right away tell that SmackDown is going to need some tag teams. Really, I mean, both shows. I feel like on Monday, tag teams are going to get drafted or signed as free agents. Speaking of free agents, the wrestlers who were not drafted tonight are Murphy, Elias, Humberto Carrillo, Tucker, all three members of Lucha House Party, Drew Gulak, and Chad Gable. So, looking at those guys, I mean, Murphy, I think he might fit in better on SmackDown, just given that that's where the people are that he's currently in a program with right now. I know that most people are probably kind of tired of that. I really don't care too much about it, but just as far as the other people that are there, I mean, Elias, I think he might fit better on Raw. Humberto, he can go over to SmackDown if they were planning on trying to start that tag team with Dominic, or, I mean, at least dip their toes in the water there. Tucker, he's a free agent. I could see him going to SmackDown because how weak the tag team division is. I don't see why you have to just completely dismantle him and Otis and Heavy Machinery, especially while they still have that lawsuit or whatever type of thing going on with The Miz. And then Lucha House Party, I mean, that's anybody's guess. I do not think they're going to stay together, but we'll see. Drew Gulak and Chad Gable, they're basically cut from the same cloth as far as technical wrestlers go, so I could see them splitting up. But basically, that leaves a lot of meat on the bone, so to speak, for Monday night. I'm definitely excited to see where that draft or where that night goes for both shows. Sorry, guys, it's a little late here. I had to stay up, like I said, to watch all that after SmackDown. So it's currently, let's see here, 11:40 Central Time. So bear with me here, but we will get through this SmackDown recap show. And it starts now after the round one of the draft. That's what they started with, as Stephanie McMahon comes out. Right after that, they do Big E versus Sheamus in a Falls Count Anywhere match. This match was pretty brutal. It makes its way to the outside and eventually backstage. There was a lot of weapons involved. I was trying to count. There was kendo sticks, duct tape, a trash can, a broomstick, a tire iron. I also think that Big E got covered in flour, maybe some eggs. But like I said, they make their way backstage. They start throwing each other into cars, slamming each other's limbs into cars. One part that actually jumped out to me was whenever Sheamus threw Big E into the windshield, and he kicked out right after that. I know it's a brutal match, hardcore match, they're trying to sell that, but I don't know, I just thought that the windshield, that was kind of a brutal bump, so I was actually kind of surprised that he kicked out of that. But Sheamus eventually goes through a windshield himself, or at least gets thrown into one, before Big E hits his big ending off the hood of a car into a table to secure the win. That match is followed by Big E being met backstage by Kofi and Xavier, dressed up as security guards. Xavier kind of makes his return here. That was actually pretty cool to see. Haven't seen him in a while. I think they said it was close to a calendar year, if not a full calendar year, so that Achilles injury, he's finally recovered from that, and he was able to get in some action later on tonight. But they do mention the tag team championships, and when they do that, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of starting to think, man, are they going to actually just jump ship on this Big E singles push and just go back to normal and act like nothing happened? I was hoping that wasn't the case, and as we find out later on the show, that absolutely was not. So, moving on here, though, Jey Uso, he cuts a promo in the ring that is pretty, repetitive. Jey Uso hasn't really improved on the mic. He's always been able to go in the ring, bell to bell. I feel like that's just kind of being put on the main stage now, so people are actually becoming aware of it. But as far as the mic goes, he was never really the promo guy inside of the Uso tag team. Jimmy Uso was always kind of better on the mic, at least in my opinion. But his promo that he is directing towards Roman Reigns is quickly interrupted by Paul Heyman on the Jumbotron, basically just telling him stop embarrassing yourself, but also saying that they admire his ambition. And also, one little side note, when I was watching these recaps, I wasn't able to watch just the entire promos. They were kind of just clips put together to give you the big picture about what happened. This was actually one of the parts of the show that I was actually kind of disappointed that I didn't get to watch it start to finish, because I think Roman actually cut a much better promo than I got to see. So I'm looking forward to actually going and watching this when it's on Hulu, because, like I said, it didn't, or my DirecTV didn't record, so that's going to be just a thorn in my side, not being able to watch it. Hopefully it's a one-time thing. I'm not going to get back into that. Anyways, this promo that Roman is cutting, he eventually breaks the news that their match inside of a Hell in a Cell, at Hell in a Cell, is going to be an I Quit match. That's definitely a first. I'm not sure how much more brutal an I Quit match can be already inside of the Hell in a Cell, but Roman just continues to thrive in this heel role. His promos have been so much more believable, at least in my opinion. I actually believe what he's saying, and I'm buying into what he's saying about that he loves Jey Uso, he wants to make their family proud as the tribal chief, and he feels just ultimately disrespected that Jey Uso won't acknowledge him as such, and he's more than willing to beat that out of him at Hell in a Cell, which I think is going to be a pretty brutal beatdown when that time actually comes. Just because the nature of the Hell in a Cell itself will take any match about 3 or 4 levels up. And judging by the type of beating that he gave him at Clash of Champions, I just don't see a way where Jey Uso is not just completely beaten to a bloody pulp in this match. But we'll see. Ultimately, I mean, not literally bloody, because we all know they're not going to probably go that far. But you get what I'm saying. This is not going to end well for Jey Uso at the pay-per-view. But after that segment, we get Stephanie McMahon comes out to the ring, who handles the draft and each round all night. And just to get a recap of round 2 here, Raw got AJ Styles, Naomi, and the women's tag team champions Shayna and Nia. And Raw gets Sasha and Bianca. Really like both those rounds for both shows, but moving on here, after the draft round, we get Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle versus Miz and Morrison. The match itself was great. No complaints here. These guys are all pretty good in the ring. But it's really what happened after the match that made the most noise. After Matt Riddle pinned Miz to pick up the win, I think it was a roll-up, not 100% sure on that, but the music shuts off as they were celebrating. And Lars Sullivan makes his shocking return to the WWE by coming down to the ring and one by one destroying Riddle, Hardy, and Miz. Stephanie then adds that Sullivan is going to be added to the draft pool on Monday night, just to kind of build the suspense there. But I was pretty surprised to see Lars make his return tonight. I did not expect that to happen. I haven't even heard anything about him for the longest time. Last I heard, he was in some pretty hot water in the company, so I did not see that coming. I'll give it to him. They did a pretty good job keeping that under wraps. But as far as his return went, I mean, that's just exactly what you want to see. He comes out and he just destroys everybody. He looks like the monster that he is. He looked just as big as he did last time, maybe just got a little bit thicker beard. But all in all, he's still the Freak, I think that's what they call him. And I'm looking forward to see where he ends up. I don't think they're going to keep him on the same show as people like Braun Strowman and The Fiend, just big kind of guys like that. I feel like he's going to kind of be on a show where he can be that monster heel, and kind of get pushed in that way. But moving on here after this match, Stephanie comes out again to announce round 3, and this is when Raw, I feel like, really attacks their mid-card. They draft Ricochet, Mandy Rose, and Miz and Morrison. When SmackDown gets Jey Uso and Rey and Dominic. I guess you can get excited about Rey and Dominic going to SmackDown, but I mean, can you really? They're probably just going to continue their feud with Seth now. I'm not sure who's really looking forward to that, but other than that, Ricochet going to Raw, he's probably going to continue a little bit of beef, or whatever you want to call it, with the Hurt Business. Mandy Rose just adds another woman to that division on Raw. Dana Brooke also gets drafted there the next round, so I'm not sure if they're going to try to keep those two together as a tag team. That's just something to keep an eye on going forward. But after round 3 of the draft, we get the much-anticipated Bayley versus Sasha for the SmackDown Women's Championship match. I was pretty, not disappointed, because I did want to see this match, but I didn't want to see it happen just this short notice. I kind of wanted to see it at least at a pay-per-view, or I shouldn't say short notice, maybe just on this little of a stage. It was definitely worthy of a pay-per-view. I'm glad that they didn't give us the clean finish, so it'll continue as it should. But these two did put their chemistry on display, as they tend to do they just gave us a little bit of a taste of what they can do when you give them some time. These two always step their game up together, or whenever they do wrestle together. So you already know what you can expect at the pay-per-view whenever they step in that Hell in a Cell. But as far as this match goes, Bayley eventually disqualifies herself by using a chair. But instead of running away, which I kind of thought she might do, not to give Sasha any type of offense here, she gets in the ring and tries to inflict more damage on Sasha, only to be countered and receive a few chair shots herself by Sasha. You kind of see Sasha get a little bit of that retribution, which I kind of hate not being able to say that word. It's a good word to use in wrestling, and it's kind of ruined at the moment, at least. But anyway, Sasha gets to hit her with a few chairs. You see her put that chair around her neck, trying to do the same thing that she did to her a while back when she climbed to the top rope and jumped on her. But as Sasha gets to the top rope and is about to jump, Bayley is able to slide away and avoid any more injury. But as far as this match goes for the pay-per-view, I'm not even lying. This match could be the main event. It certainly might be. When you look at people who are going to actually deliver, you don't know what you're going to get from Roman and Jay. They could burn the house down, but it could be an you-know-what show. So, I don't know. My vote would definitely go putting Sasha and Bayley as the main event. I definitely think it deserves that type of booking. We'll see if they look at it the same, but I'm glad that they're kind of saving that vicious Sasha attack for a bigger stage. I didn't want to see that on SmackDown. So I am glad that we will get to see that likely inside of a Hell in a Cell if that's what they decide to do. But moving on here, I'm not trying to go quick on you guys, just trying to get through this show. And let's see, after this match between Bayley and Sasha, we get another championship match. The SmackDown Tag Team Championship match with Shinsuke and Cesaro versus The New Day, Kofi and Xavier. This was a lengthy back and forth match. It was really good to see Xavier in the ring again. Like I said, it's been a while since we've seen him, and I can't even remember the last time. I know for sure before he got hurt, I was never excited to see Xavier Woods in the wrestling ring. He was always, in my opinion, the least exciting of those three. I mean, I love him on the mic. I feel like he's definitely probably the most charismatic of those, but I was definitely not a fan of his in-ring work. But it was nice to see him coming back. You never want to see anybody get hurt, so seeing him come back and kind of reestablish himself as a, you know, decent tag team mid-card star with Kofi Kingston, I feel like that's where they're going to go on Monday Night Raw. But before they do that, they actually win the SmackDown Tag Team titles here. Kind of confusing. Whenever it actually happened initially, I didn't really think too much of it. I mean, I was kind of bummed about Nakamura and Cesaro losing the titles, because I feel like with what's going on with the Raw Tag Team titles, with the Street Profits, I feel like the SmackDown Tag Team titles at least were something that you could hang your hat on in the tag team division, that they were on legit wrestlers who are going to do what they can to build the belts. I'm not sure with Bianca Belair coming to SmackDown if that automatically means that we're going to get the Street Profits coming to SmackDown. I mean, I'm kind of, now that I actually said that, I actually think that's probably what's going to happen. We'll see, though. But I did not want to see Nakamura and Cesaro lose, but when they did, I thought that it was at least going to be to The New Day, who they'd continue feuding with on SmackDown, only to find out that that was not the case at all, because as soon as the match is over and New Day was celebrating with Big E in the ring, Stephanie McMahon comes out, and she immediately, I mean, the fact that she came out while they were still in the ring automatically told you something was going to happen. I didn't really know what, but she did say that Raw had drafted Kofi and Xavier by themselves as the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And it kind of set in right there, like, holy crap, they are really hitting the gas pedal on this thing. Because immediately after that, Big E is drafted to SmackDown with the very next pick. So they kind of just hit you with it all right there and let you know that this tag team is certainly going to be split up soon. Not immediately. They do have a New Day's Farewell to SmackDown match coming up next week. So that will likely be their final pairing together before the Royal Rumble or Survivor Series or whatever pay-per-view you see the both brands come together like that. But as far as New Day goes, I mean, you got to give them credit. One hell of a run. 6 years, or for, I mean, at least that's what I think. I know whenever I first started wrestling again, or first started watching wrestling again, it was around 2014, and the New Day was basically the same thing. Their gimmick was a little bit different, but they were essentially the same thing. And to make it this far or this long without splitting up and to have as many tag team championship runs as they did, I mean, you got to tip your hat to them. They're certainly a Hall of Fame tag team when you just look at that by itself. I mean, what are they, like 9-time champions? That's just insane. But in a business where factions and tag teams are built to split up, for them to make it as long as they did, I have to give it to them. But we can all say that it was long overdue, that split up. So we will definitely get what we all wanted, and that's a Big E singles run. We'll see what happens to the other two on Raw, but the main focus here is going to be seeing what happens with Big E. And also, just as far as the tag team titles go, I'm very curious to see exactly what they do. If they're just going to make the tag team titles red on Raw and just still call them, I don't know, honestly. Sometimes they book themselves into holes where they're not going to explain it to us, and I don't know. I try not to nitpick, but man, just come on. We're not asking for much here. But after that, we get the main event, and that is The Fiend versus Kevin Owens. A very quick build to this match. Not much happens. It's only a couple weeks. Kevin Owens quickly jumps from Aleister Black to dealing with The Fiend. So he's been dealing with a lot of darkness the last few weeks, but this itself was a hard-hitting physical match. Like I mentioned earlier, not being able to watch the segments in their entirety, missing out on the Roman Reigns promo really sucked for me, and I feel the exact same way about this match. I actually went to YouTube and watched a big chunk of it by itself just to try to get the match or watch as much of this match as I could. But from what I did pick up from it, like I said, hard-hitting physical, a lot of no-selling from The Fiend. But he does eventually pick up the win using the mandible claw. And after the match is over, the lights go out. When the lights come back on, Alexa and Bray are standing at the top of at the very front of the stage facing each other. Before both looking towards the ring at Kevin Owens and then looking back at each other, and SmackDown went off the air. So I love what they're doing here, continuing the darkness of Alexa Bliss. She even had a cameo earlier in the night when Kevin Owens was like warming up, stretching for their match. She just tells him, let him in. So that was another thing I forgot to mention earlier. Another thing, I alluded to it a little bit earlier. What's up with Aleister Black in this? Is that just Kevin Owens' Raw feud and The Fiend is a SmackDown feud since Kevin's been kind of bouncing around lately? I'm not real sure. I was actually kind of trying to invest myself in the Aleister Black Kevin Owens feud on Raw. They kind of just hit the e-brake on it though and threw him into this other thing, but it's hard to really take anything that they do right now in this time period too serious as far as getting invested long term, because you really don't know what they're going to do once the brands get officially set with how they are. Like I said, it could all mean nothing. They could just drop the ball like they normally do, and just in 3 months from now, we won't even remember that there was a brand split because you got guys going back and forth. But I really, really hope that is not the case. Like I said, there is so much good that can come from a brand split. When you look at just like the Royal Rumble itself, now NXT people are included, so it's a little bit different. But back in the day, it was 15 Raw spots and 15 SmackDown spots, and you had to actually earn them. And building up to that match, the Royal Rumble qualifying matches actually meant something because you knew there was a certain amount on one show and a certain amount on the other, and whenever they did get in the ring together on the Royal Rumble, you would see wrestlers collide and their paths cross that you legitimately didn't get to see throughout the year. So that was cool. And then eventually, you know, you'd start seeing actual programs get set up at the Royal Rumble. The ones immediately that come to mind, like most people know, Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, and then Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels, and many, many others. So that's just one of the few benefits. You can go on and on about the benefits of a brand split, but let's just hope that because they're actually doing it again, they're bringing it to our attention, maybe they want us to buy into it again so they can actually deliver. We'll see. But as far as this first night went, I was very, very pleased. Like I said, I didn't get to watch it. Heartbreaking. But I did do the watch along. I did watch a few recaps. So for not watching it live, I feel pretty caught up on what happened, enough to at least help you guys out here with this recap. But like I said, it is getting very, very late, so I'm going to try to wrap this up quick. But I do not want to leave without saying how much I appreciate you guys listening to this. I know Matt is doing the Botch Guy, or he's doing the collaboration with the Botch Guy. So you guys are going to have definitely an alternative of the SmackDown review. That's pretty much what this was, as Matt alluded to in his nostalgia at the beginning of that. That basically, this show, at least from my perspective, I listen to podcasts a lot, and sometimes I have to work on Saturdays, which I normally don't at my real job. So whenever I do work on Saturdays, sometimes I realize that I don't have enough most of my podcasts are set up for Monday through Friday. So whenever Saturday comes around, it's nice to have that extra podcast. So I guess if anything, we can look at this as, for all you people out there who are going to be doing stuff on Saturday or whenever you listen to this, you get that extra bit of audio that you might be wanting, and that's all we really want to do, is make sure that you guys get the audio that you want. And as far as this SmackDown goes, just a little quick note here. I thought it was pretty cool, just a little personal story. In 2019, October 4th, that was whenever SmackDown made its official transition to Fox, or their debut episode to Fox. It was a pretty hyped up moment in the wrestling world. That was right whenever AEW was getting started as well. So it was kind of just pretty big time. And whenever I actually was talking to Matt about doing the SmackDown Review podcast going forward, he actually messaged me on October 4th confirming that we were going to do this going forward. So I just thought that was kind of cool that a year ago, October 4th, 2019, I was watching the debut of SmackDown on Fox. Definitely already listening to this show. I've been listening to the WWE podcast for at least 2 years now. So it's just pretty cool knowing that a year later to the day, Matt gave me the keys to the SmackDown review, which I cannot thank him enough for. I know how many huge wrestling fans are out there. I mean, maybe I don't even realize, because sometimes whenever Matt's doing his voicemails, I see people or I hear people from Switzerland, Australia, all over the country as far as the United States goes. So I thought that was pretty cool, knowing just how many people are actually listening to this, how many wrestling fans are out there and get to connect. I know I do not take hosting this show for granted. I enjoy talking wrestling with you guys, and I definitely cannot wait to do it again soon. One more time, I'll tell you guys, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter if you want to follow me there. And that's all I got for you guys for tonight. It's pretty late here. It's officially 12:09 Central Time, so I made it to the next morning, but I wanted to make sure to get you guys this audio. So I hope you guys all have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you guys next week.